You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
The 13th year of the Joburg Indaba kicked off today. It will run today and tomorrow in Johannesburg, and we are focused squarely on investing in resources and mining in South Africa and on the African continent. I'm joined on the line by the chair of the Joburg Indaba, Bernard Swanepoel, to take a look at this and see what we make of it. Bernard, thanks so much for taking the time. Lovely to have you on the show. What are the expectations for this year's Indaba? We've done this, we've done it for 13 years, well, 12 years. This is the 13th year, of course. What are the expectations this time around?
Every year we set out to have really blunt and honest conversations about the industry, our industry. As you would know from having met miners over the years, we are passionate about what we do and about mining and the contribution it should make to the South African economy. We're not happy with our contribution. We believe we can do more. And what stands between us and that? And then we blame the government. We talk about regulatory uncertainty and policies. And then we move on to, yes, okay, that's true, and perhaps that will take time. But what can we do as an industry? Where are we investing? How are we exploring? And that makes for a very open and, I hope, constructive conversation. But it is but a conversation. Obviously, after a conversation like this, you then expect the people to go back and implement, do what they've said they would do, fix the cadastral system of the country, you know, get transparent permitting, expedite the speed that we see things happen. And we believe there's progress, but my gosh, in this country, we move slower.
And we can't afford to. I mean, right now, commodity prices are playing their part, and we should be making the most of that. Bernard, from the opening day and from the sentiments, at least even those made by the minister, who I know delivered the opening address, can we get a sense of what commitments are being put on the table here and what each sort of stakeholder saying they'll bring to the party this time around?
You know, we do things differently in Joburg. So we actually let the minister come in close because then he speaks into the issues of the 2 days. So Minister Mantashe will be the closing speaker tomorrow. We opened up with Duncan Wanblad, the CEO of Anglo American, soon to be Anglo Tech. And I mean, obviously, what a proudly South African success story. That is 108 years on. And it is now merging and becoming a significant copper player, still with assets in South Africa. So we spoke about how South African companies are impacting on the world, but then we also bring it right back home and say, but why are we only 6% of the GDP of the country? How is it that we rate so badly as an investment destination for mining investment? You know, how did we allow exploration to be killed off in a country which is arguably one of the best endowed geological destinations in the world? And, of course, this critical mineral narrative is just fantastic. Suddenly, it is so sexy to be a miner.
Bernard, you touched on the fact that we have kind of slowed down on the exploration side of things. And I saw just today that the Public Investment Corporation has set aside just over 1.3 billion rand for the funding of early stage mining projects. Is that the kind of commitment that we need to be seeing to kind of kickstart that exploration side of our mining sector and to showcase to the world that, look, there is prospect here. We are still that mining destination to come and invest in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anglo also announced another 600 million rand contribution to the fund that the IDC and the department has set up. But, you know, these are the first drops of a Joburg thunderstorm. Fantastic. You smell that rain coming, but it's not yet the rain. So, really, these are significant first events. But we need a lot more. We actually need an enabling environment. We need to accept that we are competing with the rest of the world for investment dollars, especially in exploration, which is high risk. It takes incentives to get people to come and do exploration and spend money. And so it's fantastic. It's really a great start, but we're going to need a lot more than that. But that we'll try and get to over the next few years.
Bernard, in terms of the competition that you touched on, there are an array of commodities that can be mined across the African continent. I don't know if there is a single commodity that doesn't exist on the African continent. How then do we start to focus on the right commodities, and what are those right commodities? There are commodities at the moment like copper that are finding a lot of favor, the likes of lithium, because of the conversations around cleaner energies. But at the same time, you look at the gold price, you look at the platinum price, even the silver price, and the traditional commodities are still finding favor as well. Where do we start to focus our attention from a mining perspective? Or do we just say we've got the capacity to mine all of it, let's go after all of it?
Yes, we should. So, obviously, we currently are mining certain of these commodities, and we are so fortunate that the gold price is spectacular. So, the last mines, gold mines in South Africa, are very, very, very profitable. That enables them to invest into the future, extend the lives of the existing mines. And so, if you just remember that it's the gold mining industry that gave South Africa the sunset industry narrative, which was only ever applicable to gold. And suddenly, the sun is perhaps rising without setting on the gold mining industry. The PGM basket price is up by 35% so far this year in dollar terms. That is a fundamental driver of our mining industry and economy. It is a critical mineral. Even Donald Trump wants our PGM, so it couldn't be a sweeter spot. As you correctly say, there's lovely narratives around lithium and copper, but the prices doesn't reflect that. No price, no commodity price is up more than gold. So on the one hand, there's the narrative and the lobby groups that lobby for their commodity. On the other hand, there's the reality of what the market says. And I think as miners, we should mine what we have as a country. And then obviously, we should not live on the discoveries of our predecessors. We have to bring modern technology and millions and billions of dollars of exploration money to our country, explore it properly, and then we will mine for the next 100 years.
Bernard, before I let you go, I want to take a look at the mining industry, not just in South Africa, but on the African continent. How do we then start to leverage agreements like the Africa Free Continental Trade Agreement and say, we have this commodity, our trade partner somewhere north in Africa has this commodity, let's perhaps structure some sort of agreement where we share mining resources, we share commodities, and we exchange these things. Do we sort of see these agreements being able to strengthen the sector that we have as a whole and being able to give us a global advantage as a continent?
We've had such good conversations about that, and I think there's agreement that in the absence of the U.S. being this international force for goods that hangs over everything, suddenly where you are geographically is going to become very important. We can belong to BRICS. We can suck up to the U.S. In the end, we are African and we are part of sub-Saharan Southern Africa. And we should find ways to much better collaborate with Zimbabwe, Botswana, Namibia. If you go up to the copper belt of Zambia, I mean, this is a force in mining that can actually be significant. I think some of these agreements are too big. This whole African agreement, I don't sense a lot is happening. Perhaps, we need more localized multilateral agreements. Are our politicians up to that? I don't know. But you could see sometimes mining companies move ahead and find ways to collaborate across borders when the politicians are still not sure whether they can. But there is no doubt that we should proudly be part of Southern Africa, find our neighbors, find opportunity to collaborate and engage with the world as a bigger force than what we are on our own. South Africa is big relative to our neighbors, but I think we shouldn't allow that to make us unnecessarily arrogant. Collectively, we will make more impact.
Collectively, we are better. So we are better together than we are apart, especially in the mining space. And that is the message that we're going to be seeing come through from the Joburg Indaba this year. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Thank you so much to the chair of the Joburg Indaba, Bernard Swanepoel, for joining us to give us a sense of what is happening at the Indaba this year and what is in focus.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app. and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.